Before we jump into the podcast, we'd like to welcome a new sponsor. Boyer's Coffee has joined our team, and we absolutely love it. Boyer's a proud Colorado company, been roasting coffee in the Rocky Mountains since 1965. They're slow roasted at altitude, and that means for Boyer's, less humidity, a slower burn, and the results in Boyer's signature smooth taste. I love me some Boyer's Coffee. Boyer's Coffee is as unique as the company. Their legendary roasts include Rocky Mountain Thunder, Denver Blend, Aspen Gold, just to name a few. And they've got a bunch of them. The list of choices goes on and on. And something else we love, many of their coffees have an organic version. So many options to get your Boyer's at King Soopers, Safeway, Sam's Club, Walmart, and the list goes on. And if you loved hanging out at their old school house cafe, it's kind of cool. They've set up a mobile coffee bar outside their location at 73rd and Washington. So stop by, order up a coffee, a latte, whatever you like. Also, you can pick up some bagged coffee or Keurig cups from the Coffee Cottage, which is right next to the mobile coffee bar. Now, if you'd like to get your coffee from the comfort of your home, check out their website, boyerscoffee.com, and order some of their legendary roast. If you're a coffee aficionado, and I am, you will absolutely love Boyer's Coffee. Again, check them out at boyerscoffee.com.
This is the Dave Logan Podcast.
Pringle underneath it, 2 yards deep in the end zone, decides to bring it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, and he is loose. And Pringle at the 45 midfield, and this is going to be a foot race that he will win. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. No flags on the play. 101-yard kickoff return for Kansas City. And welcome to the Dave Logan Podcast. Dave Logan and Julie Brown with podcast number 55?
No, again, you're having so much fun.
That's 2 weeks in a row that I have missed. Is it 56?
Oh, honey, it's 53.
Ooh, just feels like 55 or maybe 56.
Well, speaking of that, we just heard that kickoff return call of yours.
Yeah.
How'd that make you feel?
Well, I'm not so sure, even at the advanced age of over 60, that I couldn't have gone 102, but I could have made significant yardage with the size of hole that was there. Then I went back and looked at it last night. Listen, the Broncos have two guys right there to make a play. You got to make a play. Otherwise, you can't be on the kickoff coverage team.
Yeah.
And from this point on, yes. Honestly, I would just have Brandon McManus kick the ball out of the end zone. I know it's become fashionable for not only the Broncos, but for other teams, because these kickers are really, really good at it. Take the one or two step approach and get under the ball with great height and make it come down in the playing field, then get down and cover it and make a tackle. And obviously, maybe hopefully pinning the team inside at times, even the 20 yard line. But the risk reward balance here is, when you do that and you don't cover and you don't tackle when you have the opportunity, then the other team goes 102 yards for a kick. I would just kick the damn ball out of the end zone and say, you're starting every single time that you start a drive on the 25-yard line.
What was the most depressing part about that loss?
I think for me, it was that the Broncos wasted a really solid defensive effort against a great offensive team.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a relatively young player. But even before him with Alex Smith, I can't remember the last time that the Chiefs with Andy Reid at the helm have been 0-for-8 for the game in third down conversion. Mahomes yesterday was sacked 4 times. Tyreek Hill really was not a factor, even though he had a 10-yard touchdown catch. Travis Kelce had 3 catches. So they did a nice job. And part of it was they kept him off the field. Part of it was, again, the kickoff return for a touchdown takes an offensive possession essentially away from the Chiefs. But I thought defensively they played well enough to win. And so I think you wasted that effort with poor special teams and an offense that, even though they ran the ball, they had 177 yards rushing. So you ran the ball effectively. But unless the Broncos can figure out who they are with Drew Lock at quarterback in terms of the passing game, who they are, who they want to be, you know, given the cast of characters they have on offense, you can't win games scoring 16 points. I mean, this team is, where are they, 28, 29, 30, right in that area in terms of points per game scored. Can't win many games doing that. You just can't.
You were in my head a lot yesterday because I remember the start of the season, you said, this season with Drew Locke is going to be a bit like a roller coaster. We're going to see some things that are going to make us throw up our hands and be like, this is the greatest thing ever. You know, like, yep. Wee! And then there's going to be times where we think that the roller coaster is actually going off the rails and we've met our doom. Yesterday was one of those games where I was like, yeah, Dave called this. Like, there's going to be games where we go, okay, we're seeing a growing pains of a very young quarterback.
I think there's truth to that. And I meant what I said. However, you know, going back and looking at the game afterwards, you know, when you call a game and you're following the ball and you're calling the action so that people can, hopefully, if they're at home or driving around or whatever, they can picture the game as you call it, you don't have a chance to really analyze the tape. You can do that if you're the color analyst. You can't really do that if you're the play-by-play guy. So I went back and looked at the game in its entirety last night. Must be a glutton for punishment. But I came away with two or three observations. They didn't have a lot of guys open. I mean, they being the Broncos, if you go back and look at that game, there are not receivers running wide open down the field. And at that point you're saying, okay, I don't understand what the quarterback sees. Why would you not throw the ball there? What's your read? What's your progression? They didn't have that. The second thing is, I think Drew, and again, this is pure conjecture on my part, I think Drew sometimes falls in love with his arm strength and with the fact that he's a really good athlete. He was a Division I recruit in basketball. So you know this kid's athletic. And he is capable of making throws that you sort of look at and say, wow. He's not Patrick Mahomes for sure, but he'll occasionally make a throw that is Mahomes-like, right? Whether it's completely off platform, maybe it's sidearm, maybe it's, you know, he does some things that are impressive in that regard. But if you do those things too many times, you start to get away from fundamentally what you have to have if you're going to be the kind of quarterback that all Bronco fans are hoping for. Mm-hmm. You got to have your feet set. You got to have your feet underneath you. I thought his footwork yesterday was suspect. You know, the pick six, and I talked to him about that today. The Broncos went empty. They had three receivers to the left, two to the right. The inside receiver to the right was Noah Fant. Kansas City brought six. The Broncos only had five offensive linemen, no back in the backfield. Mm-hmm. And so they brought four weak, and the linebacker looped around. The linebacker had a complete free shot at Drew Locke. So the ball has to come out, right? But the Chiefs are a veteran defense. Daniel Sorensen has been around forever. So he's lined up on Noah Fant in the slot, and he knows the Chiefs are bringing pressure, so he knows the ball has to come out. So the snap of the ball, as Fant is running at him, Daniel Sorensen, who lined up at about 8 yards off Noah Fant, never moves. He didn't backpedal an inch. He's waiting to see that receiver's upper body lift, and when that upper body lifts, I drive that route. And that's exactly what he did. So the only thing that Drew could have done there, two things. One, he could have, well, three things, and I don't know how he's coached here. The inside most receiver to the other side was open because that cover there was 8 to 10 yards off and backpedaling. Okay. You either eat the ball, take the sack, or that ball has got to be thrown a split second sooner. It's got to be thrown outside. If you miss that throw, you've got to miss it, in this case, into the Broncos sideline. You can't miss it. You can't be late and then miss it behind the receiver about 3 feet because Sorensen was there, picked it off, and that just completely, along with the kickoff return, changed, you know, the entire feel of that game.
Everything you're talking about is like a learned behavior, right? Like, he's going to have to learn these things. They just sound like very young player mistakes.
Yeah, these are things that, NFL coaches make a lot of money. And they stay up, you know, a long time, late at night, trying to come up with ways. But NFL coaches, by and large, right? And I don't know, Shula's the quarterback coach, never met him. Shermer's the coordinator, never met him with COVID-19, would have normally. But this is not indicated, or this is not aimed at them. But by and large, NFL coaches want to coach schemes. They don't really have whether time or inclination or whatever to coach a lot of fundamentals. They expect players to have those fundamentals taught to them coming out of college. Not to say they never work on fundamentals, because they do, but they spend the lion's share of their time looking at schemes and how do we attack this and this personnel group, and when they do this, we'll do that. They're tacticians more so than teachers. And I think what we've seen recently is a lot of these young dudes coming out of college, they need to be taught, because the fundamentals of football, especially for quarterbacks that have been primarily in the spread offense, I mean, a lot of these guys have to be taught how to take a snap from under center, how to call a play in the huddle. They haven't called plays. They just look at the, you know, we've talked about this before. You look at the sideline, you see it's like Paxton Lynch, three cards. He looked at, called the protection, that called the route concept, that called the snap count. Here we go. Well, the NFL is not that way. They're morphing into more of that, but they're not that way yet. So the thing that would, that I would think would be most important for Drew in his learning curve is for them to reiterate to him, listen, when you've got an underneath receiver, right, and they booted, Pat booted him, I don't know, seven or eight times maybe in that area, your eyes have to start short before you go to the secondary crosser or to the deep threat, right? And when he runs those boots, you can just feel, and I went back and looked at it, his eyes are looking for the big play. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of throws that he got very lucky that they weren't intercepted. You've got somebody in the flat that's going to be a plus six. Then it's second and four. So that has to be coached into him, and this gunslinger, which I like, right, this gunslinger mentality that Drew Lock has, you want to have some of it, but he's got a little bit too much of it, and that's got to be coached out of him. And that's what coaches get paid to do.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why we do like him. So that was the 10th straight win that Kansas City had over the Broncos.
You're just full of good news today.
I know.
It's today cold. It's like 4 degrees. 10 straight wins by the Chiefs.
Are the Broncos even in the same universe as the Chiefs?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a long way to go, right? Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year, and the year before that lost at home in the AFC Championship game. So you're talking about one of the two or three elite teams in all of football. Again, what I took from that game yesterday, we just talked about Drew Lock and some of the things that I think he can do. I think they've got to be more deliberate in terms of and intentional from a coaching standpoint, trying to get the ball downfield a little bit. I mean, we drafted Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, 1 and 2, wide receivers. I mean, I'd like to see some wide receiver screens. I'd like to see some deep shots taken. They threw one deep ball that was not a boot, and that was a Dino route by Jeudy, who lined up on the wrong side of the formation and then halfway through the route stopped running, right? But there was no place for that ball to be fit in because the free safety is in the middle of the hole. So I'd like to see some of that. But I think that you knew it was going to be a little bit like this. I think you got to figure out what the hell you're doing on special teams, and you got to get that fixed, like, I don't know,
by
6 o'clock tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, you better figure out a way not to give games away on special teams. And they had 4 turnovers yesterday. You know, Melvin Gordon had a fumble on a pass reception. That's his second fumble this year after catching a ball in the passing game. And you're in the middle of the field. And Melvin Gordon's a veteran player. You're in the middle of the field. It's like trying to run across here in Denver, I-25 blindfolded about 5:30. Dude, you're going to get splattered. Put the ball away and try to find somewhere, make something happen, but, you know, get down to the field. And then the flea flicker, listen, I don't have any idea. Trying to make something big happen. That was an 8-man protection on the flea flicker, 2-man route, and Kansas City's playing 2 deep. So even had that left-handed underhand flea flicker toss back to Drew been on target, there was nowhere to throw the ball. So he was either going to have to throw it away or take a sack. It's just, you know, it just was one of those games where you just didn't play well enough really to win.
Is there any concern before we take a break on Shelby Harris has really grown into himself, really? Like, he's a great story, right? And you root for him. But he's also is not afraid now to voice his opinion. And clearly, there was a little, what would you call it, that happened on the sideline?
Dust up.
A little dust up.
He got upset about something late in the game. I'm not going to be too critical. He got a 15-yard penalty, yeah, which resulted in a first down, and ultimately the Chiefs scored. I get that. You can't do it, and he's smart enough to know that. Uh-huh. I didn't see, and I'll go back and look, I didn't see what happened, so I'm going to reserve comment on that because I'll say this, you can't do that. You obviously can't do it.
So this is the quote from Drew Locke after the game. He said, Shelby Harris, Bradley Chubb, they have a right to express their opinions without a doubt. They can come right up to us and tell us straight in the face, you need to pick up your boop. Basically, you need to pick up your shit. And if they come up and tell me that, I wouldn't mind. Should he mind?
No.
Okay.
No, he's not earned. Listen, he's a young guy. Okay. And if you have a veteran player come up and get on you, mm-hmm, about your play, you know what? That just means your play is substandard. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be interesting to see from a coaching standpoint. We can talk about this coming up. But, defensive players look at offensive players and vice versa. And when one side plays pretty well and the other side just stinks,
yeah,
there is that feeling in the locker room. You sort of sit there. I mean, defensive guys hang out with defensive guys, and offensive guys hang out with offensive guys. So again, it's like, hey, I mean, what the
pick up your
you guys
plate.
Gonna how about we score a few points, really? Mm-hmm. So that's where coaches and leaders of the team have to step in and make certain that's okay. That's human nature to feel that way, but understand we're in this together. This is 53 of us fighting against everybody on the outside, not our guys on the inside.
It's a bad look. Like Aqib Talib, remember when he pushed, who did he push?
Trevor Siemian, I think.
No, it was a special, it was on a, I don't know.
It might have been just a special
teams
player.
Yeah, it was like,
Yeah, you can't have that. I mean, you can't have it.
No. Okay. So next week, Broncos travel to Los Angeles.
Actually, I know you don't follow your hometown Broncos much, but the Chargers actually come here.
Okay, we're going to edit that out. I have a feeling it's not going to get edited out. Because it's not the Julie Brown podcast.
It's okay.
Anyway, it seems as if the Chargers may have solved their quarterback situation.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. That kid, I believe he had three straight games of more than 300 yards passing. Mm-hmm. Prototypical size, 6'5", 235, big arm. I got to tell you, I didn't see it coming from his play in Oregon. I mean, Oregon runs the spread, mm-hmm, and I thought he was a talented player, certainly, but I just didn't see him this quickly, or maybe ever, turning into this guy. It's like, wow, he's one of the really outstanding young quarterbacks in the game, but that's where Justin Herbert is, at least right now.
Do you want to say Hebert or Herbert?
No, Bobby Hebert. Remember him?
Right, I do. That's why I look at it.
Who
did
he play for? I'll check.
The Saints. Suck it.
Good.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
The Saints. Bobby Hebert.
Yeah. So that kind of, yeah. So last week, they beat Jacksonville. The Chargers beat Jacksonville. He was 27 of 43, 347 yards and three touchdowns.
So that's his fourth game, I believe, this year that he's thrown for more than 300 yards.
Damn.
Pretty impressive as a young quarterback.
Right. Okay. So they come in 2-4. I'm not going to say it looks like a winnable game because you always chastise me because the Broncos have their own issues, right?
Well, because some people, not you, but some people say, well, I mean, the Chargers are 2-4. The Broncos certainly can beat them. And my point is the Chargers look at the Broncos the same way.
Right. Huh,
Broncos are 2-4. We can get a dub here. So, yeah, this is a game that, I mean, if you're going to salvage anything in this season, this will be a game that you've got to find a way to win.
The Dave Logan Podcast can be found at iHeart, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Remember to download, and if you like what you hear, share with your friends and subscribe. Remember, you can log on to our website, thedavelogandpodcast.com. Go to the contact tab to ask us questions. We'll read them on the podcast. Most every question is fair game. Just keep it classy. It's thedavelogandpodcast.com, or you can send your question directly to us on Twitter at Dave Logan Pod or at Julie Brownman. One.
time to talk about Molly Spirits, one of our terrific sponsors. Lots of places to buy your booze, of course, but only one, Molly Spirits. They've got over 12,000 beer, wines, and spirits available and two locations. And you know what's great about Molly's? There's always somebody around to help you make your selection. And man, I need that. If I go and buy wine or whatever, I've got to have somebody steer me in the right direction. Their staff there is terrific. All their knowledge about the beers and wines, liquor, they're friendly. They're there to answer all your questions. They'll make you feel right at home. And if you want a rare bottle of wine, an unusual craft beer, well, they've got you covered there as well. Molly's also takes great pride in carrying a tremendous amount of Colorado craft beers, Julie's favorite, wines and whiskeys. And they love to work with local vendors. So many ways to take advantage of Molly's huge selection. You can stop in on their Lakeside or Greenwood Village locations. Use their contactless curbside pickup, which is kind of nice in the apocalypse, the zombie apocalypse of 2020. Or you can choose delivery for online orders placed through their website. Here's something also really cool as well. With the holidays coming up, Molly's offers special event services and will work with any budget to make sure the booze is covered, right? That's one thing that you have to have. You have to have the booze being covered. They also offer corporate orders that provide delivery services to take a typical corporate holiday party virtual and then spread the gift of booze. That's going to be one of my t-shirts that I have printed up for Christmas. Spread the gift of booze. Love Molly's. Check them out online at mollyspirits.com where you can see their unique featured products. Or stop by their Lakeside location, which is 44th and Harlan, back over in my old stomping grounds, or in Greenwood Village, that's located at I-25 and Arapaho. That's right next to Sprouts in the Arapaho Marketplace. Molly Spirits, it's the land of adult beverage discovery.
Just very quickly around the NFL, are the Patriots, is this the beginning of the end?
In terms of like end of all times?
Not that they're going to go away permanently, but like the highs of the Patriots are, it really is about Tom Brady and not Bill Belichick.
I don't know. No, I disagree with that.
Okay, well.
But I don't know. I mean, I saw Cam Newton and the Patriots play in Seattle, and they're a yard away from beating the Seahawks, and he looked great. Then he gets COVID-19, and since then, I mean, the Patriot offense can't get out of their own way. Right. So I don't know what's going on in New England. I don't know what the feeling is with respect to Cam Newton. He was like 9 of 15 yesterday for less than 100 yards, threw, I believe, three picks. I mean, everything we've said about Drew Lock and turning the ball over and Melvin Gordon, I mean, if you turn the ball over, you lose the game. It's that's one of the things you can always sort of hang your hat on. Mm-hmm. So, but will they win the East? It doesn't look like it. It looks like the Bills are a better team.
Okay, two quick questions before we get out of here. What do you think about the new name of the Ball Arena from the Pepsi Center? We didn't get to talk about that.
Ball Arena.
Ball Arena.
Ball Arena.
Ball Arena.
Well, here's what I hope. Here's what I hope. I hope that the people that have a lot of money,
yeah,
can figure out a way for those of us that subscribe to Comcast and are devout Nugget and Avalanche fans. Uh-huh. I hope somebody. I would just listen. I would be an arbitrator, right? Mm-hmm. And I would put them in a room, and I'd provide coffee, and I'd say, "Listen, you guys are smart. We're going to sit in here, and we're not coming out of here until we have a deal. Mm-hmm. So let's figure this out." But I thought that would happen last year, as I went, you know, week after week, not being able to see either the Nuggets or the Avalanche. So that would be, I mean, Ball Arena sounds fine, but can we get the Nuggets and the Avalanche back on Comcast, please? Just a request.
What do you think about the nickname, the Sack?
I think it would be more appropriate if I asked you, what do you think about the nickname, the Sack?
I think it's funny.
Of course you do.
Makes me giggle.
Of course.
I'm not the only person out there with a fifth grade humor, am I?
Well, only one that I know, other than, you know, somebody in fifth grade. No. Yeah, I guess it's, hey, how long is that deal for, by the way? Ball Arena. Is it 20 years?
I'm not 10 sure. Years? At least, I think it's 10.
There you go.
Okay. Last one. Halloween is coming up. Do you like
Do you have a costume?
No. I feel like Halloween this year kind of got canceled.
I think the whole year's kind of got canceled, right?
Yeah.
Zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Do you like scary movies?
I do.
You do?
I do.
What's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Oh, man. Back when I was much younger, it's not scary now, but I can tell you when I saw The Exorcist,
yeah,
it was frightening. I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And when Reagan, when her head spun around, I'm like, I had popcorn all over my face and lap. Oh, it was scary.
Okay.
You see it now, and it's really not that scary.
Right. Okay. Right? So like a perfect Halloween night is staying in and watching a scary movie?
Perfect Halloween night. You know, really, that's never been in my repertoire. Maybe I need to think about that. What's the perfect Halloween night? No, I mean, handing out candy to trick-or-treaters, mm-hmm. right?
And you guys are going to hand out? You're not going to shut off your light?
No. Oh, there's a telling comment. Do you shut your light off?
Oh, my God, never. Never. But I have talked to people that live in neighborhoods.
So do you live in a home or
I live in a condo.
So can kids get to your...
No, they don't know the code.
Probably did that on purpose. One of the reasons you actually bought that unit.
The kids don't know the code. No, I've heard a lot of parents say that they are thinking about turning off the lights. I'm sure people listening
out there...
Because
they're fearful because of COVID-19
yeah.
or...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, everybody's got to do what they've got to do. I believe in personal preference, personal yeah. choice. Mm-hmm. And so if it's older people that are scared about young kids coming to their door and reaching in the treat box, I guess, I suppose. I mean,
okay. As we end the podcast, finally, give us a
favorite Halloween candy.
Reese's peanut butter cups. Oh,
Tootsie
God.
Friggin' roll.
Are you serious?
Love Tootsie roll.
You're the only human being I know that loves Tootsie rolls. Do you like candy corn?
Love candy
oh
corn.
Oh my God, you're that
candy,
one person.
You're not a candy corn person?
No, nobody is, Dave.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Nobody we likes could do candy a
survey.
Corn.
Oh, we could do a survey on the Dave Logan podcast. I guarantee you there are people out there right now driving around, honk the horn, see, that love candy corn and Tootsie Roll. You're not, that's almost anti-American.
I promise you, I'm going to put this out. If you want to get in touch with us, thedavelogan.com, then go to the contact.
What don't you like about candy corn or Tootsie Roll?
It tastes like ass. It tastes like a factory.
Know?
It tastes like grossness. It tastes like,
well, what
there
kind
is
of
no taste.
What kind of candy do you like?
Reese's peanut butter cups. I'm going to put this out a survey wherever I can to the universe, and I promise you.
No. We're not comparing the two. Your point was nobody other than me likes candy right. corn or Tootsie Roll. 100%. I accept the wager.
Okay. Game on. See you next week.
Hey, time once again to talk about DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. This week, some exciting action coming up. And DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. Now, if you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you want to get involved in this. You can draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means a heck of a lot more with DraftKings. It's really simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars. Here's what you do. Download the DraftKings app now and use code Logan. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Just enter code Logan to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. The code again, my last name Logan, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.